Our sermon today is based on a reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 30. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." Thank you, God, for the ways you have planted the seed of your word inside our hearts. What was I thinking? Presenting a whole sermon series on gardening and sowing and growing. I'm a terrible gardener. There's a big box in front of my house that was obviously built to showcase plants and flowers, but me, I use it as a repository for things I can't grow. After Easter, when I take home my lilies or tulips, I sincerely try to keep them growing, but they never do. So I just chuck them into that box in front of my house and hope for the best. Sometimes I add some soil to it. Sometimes I stir up the dirt in the box and dig a hole for new additions. If it worked, that box would be beautiful. There would be lilies and tulips and red hot pokers and Russian sage in it, giving my house a splash and dash of color. But alas, all that is in there now is a lonely, sickly stick of something. I can't remember what it's even supposed to be. If someone asked me, "How does your garden grow?" I would have to say, "I don't know how things grow." The scripture reminds me of a song I learned as a kid. "Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. Do you or I or anyone know how oats, peas, beans, and barley grow? First the farmer plants his seed, then he stands and takes his ease. He stamps his foot, he claps his hand, he turns around and views his land." Indeed, when the farmer is looking at his plantings and crops, he is a man outstanding in his field. If it was that simple, that you could just stamp your foot and clap your hands and turn around and voila, your seeds would grow. That box would be a showcase of wonderful, vibrant blooms instead of a woeful wasteland. I do often wonder how seeds grow. We put them in the ground and we water them, and then what happens? Does the water dissolve the seed casing and then prompt the inner seed to start growing? Is there some kind of chemical reaction involved? Do the warmth of the sun and the nitrates in the soil have anything to do with it? I'm sure it does. I just can't explain it. I can't see it happening. All I know is that somehow, some way, suddenly, without any intervention from us, things we plant start growing. And in the proper way, with a dedicated sequence, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. Planting is a matter of hope. It's an act of faith. When we are seeding and sowing, we don't get to say, "Well, this seed will go right here because it will grow right here." We toss out the seed in faith and hope it grows. We can't watch over every seed, although the Talmud, the book of ancient Jewish law, says every seed has its very own angel hovering over it, whispering, "Grow, grow." The picture of the seed scattered and scatterer in today's scripture, which is found only in Mark, implies someone who keeps moving and doing and going forward, trusting that the right seed will land in the right place. Sowing a field is indeed an act of faith. Who throws out seed out onto the ground and thinks, "Oh, I'm sure that seed won't grow"? Surely the sower thinks, "I can't wait to see how this seed grows." How can you be a gardener and a pessimist at the same time? I don't think you can. Here's what I have figured out about growing things. You've heard the term before, let go and let God. When you go to sow, don't grasp the seed in your fist, reluctant to send it forth. Let it go and let God do the miracle that makes it grow. That seed could be symbolic of so many things. It could be symbolic of our monetary resources. Sometimes we may be reluctant to give our money because we don't know where it's going to go and how it's going to grow. Let go and let God. That seed could be symbolic of our children. Of course, we want to hold on to them and keep them safe, protect them from harm. But the seed doesn't grow unless it is set free to find its own place in God's good field. Let go and let God. Of course, we all want to be secure and content and have uncomplicated lives, but a seed cannot grow unless we let it go. How does your garden grow? How does any garden grow? With faith and hope and the sun and the unseeable, unknowable, but absolutely intrinsic power of God. And we can trust God to make whatever he wants to bloom, bloom abundantly, inevitably, joyfully. What are we looking to plant here in our church? A garden of welcome and acceptance, a garden of sharing and caring. It would be great to have a community garden on our property where people from the village or wherever can come and find fresh fruits and vegetables for the taking. We have so much room to grow. From the beginning of this year of growing and sowing, I've reminded all of us, and myself too, that God's aim is to bring us back into the perfect, pristine garden that we were sent away from, the garden our hearts can't forget, the garden our hearts so long to return to, the garden where even I can make things grow. To prove ourselves worthy of being transplanted into that first and best garden, we need to show that right here and now, we can sow and we can grow, and we know that it is God who makes all our gardens beautiful and bountiful. I'm not giving up on my garden box. What I have to do is get in there and work the soil and get my hands dirty and not be afraid of turning up worms. They help refresh the soil, but they creep me out. Gardening is a metaphor for the way we must do, the work we must do to grow in our faith. All the parables of Jesus tell us the seed is the word, so we are called to immerse ourselves in God's word, to read and study the Bible and pray and listen to the Spirit and ask the Spirit, what do I need to grow? And will you help me grow it? I still believe somewhere in my heart that something will grow in that box in front of my house in spite of me. Because God works in mysterious ways to make our gardens grow. And as the scripture tells us, one day, at the right time, there will be a harvest. Because you can't keep things in the ground, they won't get any riper. When the crop is ready, it's time to pick or pluck them so they can be used. Wheat becomes bread, grapes become wine, corn, rice, tomatoes. They are ready to nourish up and help us grow. And what a wonderful paradox that is. The things we plant and hope will grow, in their turn, they come back to help us grow. There are all kinds of plants in God's garden, all growing into the harvest, and there's nothing we can do to hurry the harvest. In God's garden, there is room enough and love enough for all. We must trust that the things are happening. We must trust that things are growing underground, out of sight for now, but the harvest will come upright. God is working even when we're not looking. The reign of God's peace and freedom and justice comes regardless of whether or not we know how it happens, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Let us pray. Dear God, plant us in the garden of your love. When the time is ripe, let us see once again the glorious garden, your kingdom, that you have prepared for us. May we be patient as we wait for the time of the harvest and trust in you to help us grow. Amen.
In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, the spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. In our ears. midst of it.